I'd like to thank everyone again for giving me this opportunity. And before I get into the lesson this morning, I was just thinking of Viv's request for prayer. To kind of fit that along with our lesson, I was just thinking James, the book of James, I believe speaks about this, about bringing things to your friends for prayer, your brothers and sisters. And if I could just read James 5, 9 through 11. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, you count them blessed who endured, that you have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, or let your yes be yes and your no be no, nor lest you shall fall into judgment. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing songs. If anyone among you sick, let him call on the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. I was just thinking about that, about if we have prayers for one another, we're told, you know, to talk about that. And I can't think of anything better than bringing that to our and our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we're told to do here in James. So, Viv, I thank you very much. So, to continue our lesson this morning, Friend and Father is the name of our next lesson. Now, I put this lesson together yesterday, and yesterday was just one of those days that I really felt like what it was to be a dad with a newborn. It was a tough day yesterday. You know, I know it's great seeing Emma and Jacob, and they're so funny and caring, but yesterday I don't think Jacob slept more than 2 hours in like a 48-hour time frame, and Emma was, I don't know, it seems like she had a lot of caffeine. Even at one point, she jumped off a couch and hit me in the head, and I got a scar across my eyebrow now because she hit my glasses and they went into my eye. So yesterday was a rough day. I felt like what it was to be a father, definitely sleep-deprived, tired, and all of that. So the lessons that we brought this morning is about friend and a father. Now, I'm going to build on some of the pieces that we've already established, friend. Now, being a father and a friend would actually have to build off of more concepts than just a friend, I believe. So I addressed these earlier, these ideas of friends, and about association, loyalty, and affection. And I'm going to kind of add on Ephesians 6 and 4 when it talks about being a father. Do not provoke to wrath, bring up in training and admonition of the Lord. So it's very important for us to be friends, but also I believe that there's added duties to being a father. So I have a father, of course, is to be here in 1 Timothy 3 and 2 and then 4 through 5. It says in 1 Timothy, starting in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Then in verse 4, one who rules his own house, well, having his own children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know, how will he take care of the church of God? So I think of that with a father. You know, blameless, husband of one, temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, able to teach, but also being able to teach his children and the children being in submission. Now, I consider that a level above being a friend. Now, a friend, you know, is somebody that we talked about earlier, but when talking about raising your children, a father is not only a friend, but also has that authoritative figure. Now, we can think of that when we talk about our Heavenly Father. We'll get into that in a little bit too, because we are to fear the Lord, especially as fathers. So in Proverbs 14 and 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. Talking about how fathers should fear the Lord, because we have the definition of life, essentially, here in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Think of how important that was mentioned there in Ecclesiastes about how important this is. Now, I know this is in the Old Testament, but this applies to us in the New Testament too. If we keep all of his commandments, this is our all. Now, I mentioned earlier that it's important for fathers to also be teachers. So, we get teaching from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration for God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction. God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So I think of a role of a father for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. God give us his will that we can teach our children in this manner. Also, Proverbs 22 and 6, "Train up your children the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Kind of giving instruction to how to raise children by using teaching in God's word. Like I mentioned before, a father needs to be more than just a friend. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor dost his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." So just because you have to do some correction, maybe from a father to a child, doesn't mean that you're not necessarily their friend, but something more. A father needs to do something more than a friend, maybe correcting their children. Now, yesterday I felt like I had to correct children a lot. Just yesterday was a tough day, and I was thinking of that throughout all of this. And especially not provoking to wrath and other things about correcting and trying to do things right for the Lord. Because the Lord corrects us as our Heavenly Father, is important for us to do also to our children. Because fathers have multiple roles. So fathers need to follow the word of our Heavenly Father. Fathers should love their wives and be a good husband. Now, these are commands that are given to fathers. Fathers need to raise their children well according to the word. Fathers need to work for the local church by filling the requirements of the overseers, what I'd mentioned earlier about deacons and elders. And fathers should train their children to follow the word over the course of their lives. This is the roles that we've been given as fathers. Now, fathers, we also have this has also given us instruction. So here in James 1 and 17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation, shadow of turning." So everything is given to us by God the Father. Everything. Because God the Father in 1 Corinthians 8 and 6 says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." So I was thinking of this piece here. Everything is given to us from God. Everything. It says all things are from God. Now, we see that that's clear in Genesis. In the book of Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Our God the Father has done all of this for us. So last week, I think last Wednesday, I wasn't here. I was in Huntsville, Alabama. So one of the things that Huntsville, Alabama is famous for is the Space and Rocket Center. So here is the Space and Rocket Center. I was actually there giving a presentation to NASA and to the NSA. So this was the facility that I was in. And I had an opportunity to see some really neat things at this Space and Science Center. I even got to see this rock. This is a chunk of the moon. I think it's so interesting when they bring pieces like this back. That's a chunk of the moon. They just have in a case right there. But one of the interesting things, when I think about how everything is made for from our Father above, I watched what was nice about when I went there, a member of NASA came and showed me around, and we went through the facility together. And we watched this video that was on the Cassian Huygens mission. Now, that was a mission that went out to Saturn to go take pictures and to bring it back. So the picture I'm about to show is a real picture of Saturn. This is a real undoctored picture of Saturn. And when I think of how the Heavenly Father made everything, I think of this picture. That's a pretty cool picture. That's not doctored. That's a real picture. And the guy from NASA was just so happy to show this. I just thought this was so cool. I think you can see this. But there's a little dot. I don't even know if you can see my line. But that's where you are. There's an itty-bitty little pixel right there. That's an itty-bitty white dot. That is the Earth. The sun is directly behind Saturn in this picture, and that's what's creating that glow. This is kind of a one-of-a-kind picture. It looked like it had been doctored. But I think of how amazing this is. I'm using the word amazing because I think of things that are amazing that have been created by God. It said in the beginnings that he created the heavens and the earth. And I found this picture just so kind of setting, to kind of get an idea of how vast God made everything. Now, it took about 22 years for that satellite to fly out there to take that picture. So it had been in orbit since like 92. That was sent out there to take that image. And I think of this importance of where we are and who we are in the world, that God our Father set all of this up for us, all of this majestic nature of the world. Because God so loved the world in John 3:16-17, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So here's a Father that gave his own Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Now, I think of the vastness of the world and where we're located in the universe. Currently, right now, the Earth holds about 7.6 billion people, rough estimate. 7.6 billion people right now. But John 3:16 again says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. So that means God loved everyone that ever lived and believed in him. So we think of the current 7.6 billion people that live on the planet. But how many people have lived on this planet since Adam and Eve? How many people did God love in this time frame? God only knows when the end will come. So how many more people will pass through this earth? How many more people will God love? Because our Father comforts us. And I think of an earthly father can comfort, but we have comfort from the Lord above. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with a comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. But he's also the Father of correction. In Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father the Son in whom he delights, which we had read before. Father is also our friend. John 15:13-15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his own life. Tying in our lesson of friendship. That greater love has no one than this, who to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you, as Brad mentioned again in his prayer. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friend, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So he has made these things known to us. Our Father above has made known these things. Now these things have come to confusion maybe to some people. But that's cleared up in Acts. And in closing today, here in Acts 2, 33 through 39. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. So this is at the day of Pentecost. So there's a little bit of a reaction here. Therefore, let us all, the house of Israel, know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, the members of Pentecost here are mentioning here in 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. So again, mentioning friendship and the promise of our Father. Our Father has given this promise of this heavenly home and this comforter that will let us into heaven. But he had to give his only son. This Father had to give his only son to die for the remission of our sins. But he also will call us friend if we do what he has commanded. And as we know from this verse that has been commanded to be baptized and to follow Christ. And if you'd like to do that this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.